From the epistle reading that you had, it was talking about life in the Spirit, and I want to talk to you about that life in the Spirit. I think that's what Elijah, when he heard the still small voice of God, God was drawing him to see how he was living in Elijah's heart, and even in the worst of days, his presence was with him. And he was showing him what that meant and how you can live in the power and the love of that presence. It's a really powerful, important thing for us. What do you think about when you have a bad day? What goes through your mind when you have a bad day? Grumpiness? I mean, all, you know, some people get, they get grumpy, some people get angry, some people get worried, they get stressed. I had this thought. This last week was really nice. It was a really good week. And thank you, teachers, again. I mean, I'll say it a bunch of times, but really, it was really very enjoyable. And yet there's busyness, of course, when you have that much going on and you have all the things you have to do. I know my wife, Jill, was dealing with that because you're working and then coming here in the evening to do that. So thanks. And Brenda and others, I mean, that's true, right? But I had this thought that I don't think God makes bad days. Sin does. God always has a better idea. And when we willingly choose to look at even the worst day ever through God's eyes, even the worst day has hope that wouldn't be there otherwise. Elijah's story is meant to speak to people who want to follow God, but their doubts and uncertainties get in the way. We don't have peace because we can't see how God can make the pieces of our day fit together for His glory and our good. And that creates stress, and it creates pain, and it creates frustration for us. Elijah is an example of how to hear God's still small voice speaking peace to us each and every day and be drawn to God through the Spirit. You know, in VBS, the kids were discovering that Jesus is the light of the world. And one of the main things that they were being taught by their teachers was that life can have dark times in it. And we can go down paths where we really don't have or sense God's direction and God's peace. The VBS title was Cave Quest, as you've seen, Following Jesus, the Light of the World. And you've probably been in a cave on a cave tour, and the leader who's leading the tour turns out the lights and you can't see a thing. When you're deep down in a cave, there's no light, and your eyes actually need light to work. Now, we can't avoid the darkness that's in this world. It's not possible because darkness comes from sin. And the way that life works is we grow accustomed to depending on certain things in our lives. We get accustomed to having people in our lives. People need that stability. It's important for us. We need to have the direction. We need to depend on things. But the facts are that we have plenty of reasons for us to doubt. We have plenty of reasons for us to sense the uncertainty that's in this world. And we can't rely on circumstances. We can't rely on people. We can't even rely on ourselves because we are going to disappoint and not come through at times. And that's what I mean by darkness. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about darkness. In the VBS, there was a song that we sang, and the lyrics of the song went like this. Who can you turn to? Who is our rescue? And that song really spoke to me. And also the words, what you sang earlier in Good, Good Father, that one is so powerful because it says, I've heard many stories of what you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you are pleased and that I'm never alone. God speaks into your life with a still small voice so that we can trust Him. He is our rescue. He is the one that we turn to. Now, that is a difficult thing to hold on to when you go through a lot of stresses and you go through a lot of difficulties. So in your outline, I put a little line about an analogy that I'd like to share. It's about a fire safe. Do you guys have a fire safe box? Does anybody have one of those? Yeah, I mean, we do. And they're really good for putting your important papers in. Now, I know a pastor that got a fire box, and you know you don't have to lock those things. You just close them because they do their job just by the nature of their construction. So he really didn't need the keys, but he wanted a safe place to put the keys. So you're probably guessing where this is going. And so, yes, he put the keys inside the firebox and then closed the lid and slammed the lid, and it locked. And those things are really hard to open. They're very difficult to get open. But that gave me an illustration. It gave me an illustration of God's grace. Because who you are in Christ, your security, your salvation, the new life that God has given you in Christ are totally safe. The keys are actually inside Christ, in God. And you're not holding the key. He is holding the key. He's never going to give you up. The security of your relationship with God is safe because of what Jesus did for you. And you know, it's not about what you do. Elijah thought, he got confused in this, and you can't necessarily see this from the text because we jump in at verse 9, but in verse 8, it says where he was at. You see, he had real life struggles. He had done a wonderful work for God. There was this incredible, he was obedient, incredible response to from God in his obedience as he followed God. He was faithful. He stood up against the prophets of Baal. And as they had this competing sacrifice, fire came down and it consumed the sacrifice. And then everything just turned upside down after that. Jezebel put out a threat against him. He was terrified and he ran away. And he ran over 200 miles. God actually gave him supernatural food to sustain him on the journey. And when he's in this text that we're reading, he is at Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. Now, if there's any place where you're going to find the presence of God, it's where God revealed himself. And so he ran to be with God, and he wants to be in God's presence. He desires to be in God's presence. But it's not a matter of what you do. It's not a matter of going to church more. It's not a matter of praying more. It's not a matter of trying to earn God's presence and help and blessings in your life. Because he goes down to Mount Sinai so he can clearly hear from God, and God comes out and says, "What are you doing here? Why are you here to meet me?" He says, "I meet you every day. I'm with you every day. I called you." And God does not rebuke him. God does not get upset with him. God understands that we get a little confused at times, but he also understands that the strength of our righteousness, the strength of us following him, is based on our relationship with him and our closeness to him. And he reminds him, he says, "I'm always with you." And besides, God does not want to thunder out the law to you. You know, when you get upset, let's say somebody really ticks you off, right? Well, you're at work or something like that, and you know, you just have to deal with somebody. You're driving in traffic, and this person, you know, driving down 45, and they think the sign 45 is the speed limit. And, you know, you just, I mean, there is a tendency, some of us react differently. We all react differently in situations where we're stressed and a little bit ticked. But the point is, a lot of times we'll say, "Don't they just follow the rules? It's not that hard. Can't you just do what is right? You know, can't you just be good? Can't you just listen?" Can't, you know, and our reaction is to kind of give the law out and speak like that. And God didn't thunder like he did at Mount Sinai. God didn't have fire come down. Now, the apostles, it's good we have the scripture reading for the gospel reading that we had, because it fits in well with the apostles journeying to Jerusalem. And they see this Samaritan village there, and they're going, "Ah, these guys, Lord, we got this. Let's just call fire down from heaven and burn them up. That'll be a sign to everybody that you're the right man. You're the Messiah. You're walking with God. One of the translations, actually, he says to him, he says, you do not know what spirit you're of. Because that's not God speaking. God's speaking with love and grace and open arms to embrace us. And you know, the law really does not help situations. If we're in sin, it corrects us, it guides us, it is as a curb. But he wants to speak to us. Most people have a real struggle with just letting go. For most people, it's really tough. Say, I'd love to trust Christ, but I have a really hard time just letting go. It's hard to see myself in this new way of trusting God, the new way that God wants me to be. You know, it's often a forgotten step. It's really walking in the Spirit. And as we put on the new person and we trust in God, we're actually drawn into His presence, and you're drawn away from sin. You're actually drawn into the things that God loves. And because you see how much God loves you and cares for you, you're drawn away from those things that God does not love. You can try, you can work, you can come to church, you can do all the things that you can do, but that's not going to change your heart, because it's a soft, beautiful whisper of God's love in Jesus Christ that draws you to Him and actually woos you and changes you. It's powerful, and God knows that. You know, He speaks to us in that way. And I thought about that in walking with the Spirit. You know, because He comes to Elijah, who's stressed and just worried for good cause, and just says, what are you doing here? I'm with you all the time. Just walk with me and trust me. And He speaks His still small voice to him, just as God needs to speak to me and you. And the first thing that I put down in the outline, because it's really important, there was a still small voice, and we need to have that quiet place, that quiet moment where God can speak to us. We're so busy with all the things that happen in life. The first place you need to be is in a quiet place where you can get alone and you can listen to God and you can hear Him. And you can let Him just speak into your life. We get so busy that we end up giving the leftovers to God, and we get so busy with all the things that come up that God just doesn't get the time just to speak to us. And the first step is just to withdraw. Jesus put it like this, that He went to quiet places. He found places where He could withdraw and He could just pray. In Psalm 23, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. From Isaiah 30, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: in repentance and rest, in quietness and in trust, is your salvation and your strength. You know, God calls you into that relationship just to sit in His presence. And we need to tune in to what He's saying, because there are so many voices that we're going to hear. We really need to hear what He's speaking to us. There's a verse from Deuteronomy. He said, the Lord goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you. When you get up in the morning and you have time, no matter how many minutes you have in your busy day, stop. What if you said, the Lord goes before me today? Praise God. The Lord goes before me. I believe that. Wherever I go, wherever my foot is going to step today, the Lord has gone before me. And He is going to be with me. I do not have to worry. I do not have to stress. And I can rely on God being with me. He is going to watch over me. And we get that in our hearts and minds. And we let our minds get shaped by that, because that's what God's speaking to you. It will color your world. It really will. It doesn't matter how many difficulties or stresses you have to deal with. It's going to draw you into God's presence and away from the things like maybe getting upset or getting angry or doing the things like Paul listed. You see what he was talking about with walking in the Spirit? You see, he's saying if you're drawn into God's presence, you're going to be drawn away from those things. So rather than get upset or angry, you can't escape the darkness. We're going to have to deal with situations like that. He says if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to find a strength and a comfort, because you're going to hear God's voice. And we have to tune our ears to that. It's something that we have to do. We just have to grow in that. Beautiful verse from Jeremiah. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, so he's been saying this for a long time, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again. And the way we respond to his voice is we just respond in faith. You know, we look at it like Ephesians tells us. Ephesians says that you are saved by grace through faith, and then that's verse 8 and 9, and verse 10 says, for you are his masterpiece. He's created good works for you to walk in, and it changes our perspective on life. If we look at each day as a canvas, as an opportunity for him to work, that he is actually involved in this, and he will bless me, and we turn our ears to tune into his presence in our lives. That's what he was telling Elijah. He said, what are you doing here? He says, go out. And he sent him out. The same thing that Elijah was called to do. God didn't rebuke him. God didn't change anything. He says, you're a prophet. Go be a prophet. And he actually gave him tasks to do. He says, I've created these works for you to do. Just go do them. I understand. It's hard. But by the way, I've reserved 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal or kissed him. You know, I had an object lesson that I wanted to share with you. At the first service, I shared this, and it's something that we were growing in our house, so let me go over and get it. Have you guys ever grown an avocado pit at home? Yeah, it's kind of fun. And I shared this at the preschool chapel a while back. Look at it now, Karen. Yeah, it's actually growing. And I saw it as we were finishing up VBS, and I thought, I need to share that this weekend. Because this actually spoke to me as far as hearing God's still small voice and letting that speak into my life. Now, the roots are growing down. I asked the kids, I said, why does this grow up? Why does the green part grow up? You know, the green part is specially made by God to receive the sunlight, and when it does, it gets nourished by that sunlight and strengthened. And the plants just know to grow up. The plants just do that instinctively. There was a bad windstorm this last week, and some of the corn was almost knocked over as you go between here and Rantoul. But they think it was probably young enough it might snap back, because it's going to, if it's not broken, it's going to want to grow up and connect with the sun because it knows it needs that to be fruitful. But you know, with us in our lives, there is a tendency for us to look down as the roots are looking down, to kind of have our heads and our attitudes and our hearts and our minds looking down rather than up. And God says you weren't made like that. You were made to look up. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, just like the fruit from a plant, grows from sunshine. But for us, it's the sunshining of God's Son, the beauty of His grace shining in our lives. Look up. You know, as you go through your day, look up. He made you to feed on that, to grow, to be strong from that. May God bless us and keep us in that as He speaks into your life, that still, small voice of Christ. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord God, bless us in our faith. Strengthen us to hear your voice as you're speaking to us all the time. Let that draw us into you, draw us away from sin, draw us away from the things that would hurt us, Lord, but yet to hear of your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.